Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, kid. You looking for answers? Wrong stop. But if you're into messy stories about addiction, mental health, and the side of life that no one else wants to discuss, come. Stay a while. This is Malfunction Junction. I'm Andrew. That's Jay. We're just two guys trying to figure some shit out before the next bus rolls in. Sit tight. Might get weird. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Andrew.
This is Jay.
How's everybody doing today? We are in our new studio for the first time.
Woohoo!
Yes. If it sounds a little echoey, we're getting that treated, and we'll figure that out. Also, there may be some sirens in the background.
And whistling.
And whistling, apparently. So we'll see how this goes. We're going to figure out how to make all of it work. But it's a nice little space. I just got a new apartment. And, oh, yeah, exactly. Yep, thank you, thank you. Yep. Nice new space. We've updated our format from the sitting on couches, which I guess we never really showed much of. We did a little. Well, we did that. We did those pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little space. We'll see how this goes overall in terms of the apartment. It has to be better than my last space. It literally fucking almost has to be better than my last place. I didn't mind the studio that we had set up there. It was fine. It worked.
Yeah. It was functional.
Yeah. As far as like space goes though, this is a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. But yeah, so we don't particularly have a topic, but we don't particularly have a direct format of going that by. So why don't we just start with, how'd your week go?
We should also start with shout out our new listener.
Yes.
In Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Pakistan. Great. Wow. Great.
Yes.
I'm going to be a pilot.
Yeah. Jesus.
So shout out to you. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you everyone who listened to last episode, a hot topic.
Yes, hot topic
and
for sure.
Was immediately followed by a new event in Colorado, not too far from us, just this past week, along with obviously the old boy getting roughed up down in Utah.
Yeah,
tough go. Yeah, it's been a very interesting time in the political landscape, especially in regards to mental health and firearms and things of that nature. We can't recommend enough to go outside, touch grass, trying to get too wrapped into groups that you've never met. Be balanced.
Be balanced. It's not...
be educated and be balanced.
Yeah, it's... there's not really much that we can say on this topic that hasn't really already been said by people that have a much larger following than us. But at the same time, the basic of it is, man, it feels like very strange times to be alive, number one, obviously. It's been that way for years. But at the same time, it's sad to see when one side feels like violence is the only option.
Yeah.
And
this has been one of the most interestingly discussed topics.
And at this point, it doesn't seem to be one side anymore.
No, and you have like one side that's like, you got the liberals who are like on the very extreme side that are saying good. And like there was some recent like vandalism that was like kill all Charlie Kirks, which was interesting. And then on the other side, you have people that say Charlie Kirk was a modern day MLK, which is just something. So it's wild. And
I don't think that's what I don't think they're meaning, because I heard that same thing.
I've seen it a few times.
Sure, but I don't know if it means like what he was saying. I think what it was referring to is like as the assassination goes.
I don't know. The difference is one guy was so prominent in a field of overturning oppression that the government literally had to stop him from being able to redistribute the power loss in society. And the other guy is a very popular political commentator. Like, it's just two totally different fields.
I agree, but there's a lot about MLK.
There's a lot. I know, but there's a lot of, like, scandals.
And that doesn't take away anything to say what he was saying, that it wasn't good, because what he was saying was great. But changing of everybody's lives for the last 50, whatever it is.
It's also hard to know whether or not all of it was true, because I mean, they were very open about it. I think it was Kissinger, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
Was Henry Kissinger the president of the CIA at that time, or FBI?
I think it would have still been fucking
whoever it was.
The main guy
dislike for MLK.
It was fucking what's his name?
I swear to God, it was Kissinger, dude.
No, it was. Well, hold on, let's look that up.
I lied. It was J. Edgar Hoover.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Regardless, it's a very interesting time. Plus, for quite some time now, I followed some very extreme pages on both sides because I like seeing what the fuck's going on.
Sure.
And the amount of people right now that are like, they've revealed their true colors. It's time to arm up. There's no other way. They're responding with the same shit. It's like, brother.
That's the opposite of what this guy was.
It's the pot practicing. And the kettle now.
That's the opposite. Also, like the opposite was. I mean, like, look, say what you will about what Charlie Kirk was saying. You have to
I got a lot to say.
Say what you will, but it's like, the basic of it is that he was having discourse. The basic of it is that he was going on college campuses and challenging college students to have discourse with him and prove him wrong.
I do feel like he did it in a disingenuous way.
Whatever.
But I don't think he ever, I never saw anything that led me to believe that he would ever call or support violence. He was very, very forward about his faith.
Exactly.
So I respect that. And it, again, just does not in any situation warrant death.
No, it's crazy. It's an attack on free speech.
I hate that. I don't think so.
What do you think it is then?
I just think that like the nature of political commentary is that when you're speaking, it's speech that has an effect. It's to me similar to, and obviously I'm not saying he would do this. I'm not trying to color his character a certain way. But if I go up to a fucking black dude on the street and I just get in his face, start calling him the N-word over and over and over again, and I make all the most racist comments, and he hits me, to be like, oh, well, he hit him because he was using his free speech. It's like, that to me is silly.
I mean, was he like calling people?
No. My point is that there are instances I think everybody understands that to provocate a certain way and it leading to a response that goes past words is understandable. And when you are in like a political field, and let's be honest, liberals do tend to have a little bit more increased mental disorder rate. That is just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And so when you're making comments about things that in their mind are negatively impacting or harmful to them, like his very, very hard stances on abortion access or all these other things.
Those are his religious right. Those are of religious course. Opinions.
But to do that in a platform
he also has
that size and not expect that there are going to be fringe people on the other side who feel as though your words are supporting an act of oppression towards them. Like that, it's again, you got to play the game. I mean, you got to understand.
You still can't kill him. You got to play the game. You got to have discourse. It's an attack on free speech.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. He's not getting attacked
for speech. He's getting attacked for what his movement is. There's a difference.
Okay, then it's an anti-religious thing. It's either one of those two things.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's either of those things.
What do you think it is?
again, I think it's if you take the head role, especially in something as big as TPUSA and YAF and being, you know, this really, really influential commentator, you're the leader of a political movement. It's no longer about your speech. Like, you can't, he can't just be an individual anymore. He's too big. His platform's too wide. His words do have an impact on people.
And is he supposed to say what he, opposite of what he believes? He's supposed to change after what he's gotten?
Of course not. But like I said,
platform?
This is kind of non sequitur, though. I'm not suggesting that he shouldn't say those things. What I'm saying is, to speak in a certain way does have an impact on people. And understanding that, like, being in that place and being someone who kind of historically was a little demeaning in conversation at times and had a tendency to undermine people, doing that on a scale of that size is going to lead to people feeling, again, like, legitimately marginalized. It doesn't in any way justify violence. It is not my take.
No, but I didn't think that.
That impact is very different than just speech or religion.
I mean, the attack that... Okay, so...
It's ideological. You're past it just being speech and religion.
It's ideological, but that's his... religion's ideology.
Of course.
And that's...
I mean, some of it is, not all of
that's,
it.
That's... I mean, and, you know,
personally,
people,
I believe a lot of what
you could definitely put...
Anti-Christian,
you could absolutely put on... I'm not going to argue with that one, but you could absolutely put the idea of the liberal ideology of that as a religion, the way it's been responding as.
And again,
and so in that case, it is a religious attack.
We have seen some stuff on the other side too, of like, you know, it happened with like Pelosi's husband. It happened with,
that's a whole other thing.
That couple in, I want to say it was Baltimore. They got attacked with the,
there's too much like fuzz surrounding the Pelosi attack that I don't want to say anything.
But
what I believe.
Again,
I just
think that, like, when politics operate so differently from every other realm of communication, we spoke about this before the podcast, but, you know, handling it in a certain way without care, or just once you get to a certain size, you have to expect that you are going to radicalize some people. I'm not saying that it justifies the other behavior, but again, I don't see it the same as like me just using my speech as somebody who wants to stifle me just for personal gain, usually in corruption, which again, I don't think this is. I think it's more feeling like you're the little guy getting bullied, and so as a result, you're trying to react. And I don't think it was anti-religion, because so much of his movement wasn't based around Christianity. That was just his personal value set.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's...
We should talk about who his donors were.
Hey, let's get some tiny hats. All right, anyway. Let's keep moving.
Anyway. And which, by the way, he had apparently flipped on that about 2 weeks ago. So they say. What?
Yeah. Anyway. Some very interesting stuff.
Also,
with,
apparently there was a private jet that, well, this is what I've just been being told like an hour ago, a private jet that had flown once this year, that day, from there.
Well, you know, some other interesting stuff is that we also just recently passed a bill that prevents the Pentagon from boycotting Israel in any way. It is now a crime.
It's like an imprisonable offense, I believe.
Yes, and on top of that, we also just approved another $700 million for their military defense.
Defense?
Hey, man, you're just trying to stave it off, dog.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, there's been quite a bit that's happened. They also blocked the release of the Epstein files.
Yeah, it did.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, that one, I think I got that one. Yeah,
nice.
Who saw that one coming?
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thought that they would block the Epstein files?
Something he was very against. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just it's weird with politics, man. You polarize people so much, and then it creates like this hostility that just doesn't really exist in much other things. Even with religion, with as widespread as it is, you don't see it the same way. At least not in the U.S. Obviously, religion has been a primary cause of many wars throughout history. But
yes,
the U.S. just hasn't seemed to experience much religious violence in its history.
I'm trying to think about that. Not a ton.
I mean, there's been
some, there also hasn't been very much history comparatively speaking.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, in our few hundred years, we've never really had any religious wars, and it's pretty uncommon to hear somebody being shot just because they were a believer in some religious system. I think people also just consistently, whether it's about racism, xenophobia, homophobia, religion, whatever it may be, people in America have a tendency to overlook how good we are at being balanced on it.
Yes.
Like, statistically, the U.S. is has the highest percentage of respondents that would be comfortable living directly next door to somebody of a different race than them. But the U.S. has, at the same time, this culture of being like, oh, we're so racist here, because we've now gotten so good at realizing it and so outspoken that now our focus is things like microaggressions, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
That we're not focused on the overall brutality of it anymore. It's the small nuance that still exists.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize how privileged we are to be in a country that's at that level. Like, most countries, it's not like that. Like, they're still trying to get people to not be, yeah, like, directly violent towards people over race.
Yeah.
And we've come so much further than that. And it's the craziest part to me about all this shit is just seeing these comments of, like, you know, oh, the other side, it's time now. And it's like, I don't think you understand what real political violence and dissent looks like. I don't think the U.S. has had that to enough.
Or what war looks like.
I mean, the Civil War is I'm not
trying
close
to say, I'm not trying to say that I know. Well, yeah, sure, but like no one alive knows what that looks like.
We're so far past it now.
I'm not trying to say that I do know what war looks like. I only know what violence looks like because I've had it happen to me. But it's like, at the same time, I do know from what other people have said that I don't want to be in war.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's really crazy right now seeing the war in...
Anybody that's actually calling for war right now is going to be one of the first people killed.
That's what I'm saying.
If
you're going to do? You're going to go out to fucking Costco and shoot some chick with blue hair?
Or in the reverse, some chick with blue hair going to come out and shoot some white guy?
Yeah, like, what is this?
What does this do?
I don't see the organizational aspect of this, but it's crazy now that with war that, like, the Ukraine body footage or, like, the videos children in Gaza, and it's just, like, seeing... like a kid starving, making like TikTok videos.
Yeah.
And like not saying that he's not really going through something, but they're clearly staged of like, they have a script and it's like, you know, you're doing this, which makes sense. You know, you're doing a promotional video to try and get a foreign aid for it.
Yeah.
But it's weird that that's what's happening. Like in any other instance, you would have to have some sort of advocate for it. You know, you'd have to have someone who's removed enough or, unaffected enough to be the speaker in the international embassies. But now it's just like, well, I'm going through all this violence. I'm just going to make a video talking about it, which is just, it's fucking nuts. It's crazy. It's crazy to watch it.
And then
in real time,
it goes to some chick in America and she goes, oh my God. Like, next video.
Oh my God. That's so sad.
Have you heard what they're doing in Palestine?
One share equals 10 meals. Oh yeah. All right. Sure, brother. How about you take the money out of your pocket and you send it to the kid that needs it? Oh, no, you want to share it. Got it. Okay, no worries. Yeah, do your thing.
Yeah.
Teach their own.
I just gave that kid 10 meals.
I'm a good person.
10 meals of what? Fucking worms?
No, they just show him pictures of fucking, like, a nice rice pilaf and then have him eat sand at the same time. And go, use your imagination.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're having them watch fucking Guga Foods cooking videos.
Yeah.
Those are the 10 free meals that these fucking bullshit-ass advocate groups are giving away. Oh, the share and the likes. It's always pissed me off about that. It's just like this post, I give a meal away for every person. And it's like, if you have the money to be able to just give out an unlimited number of food based on the likes, then just do it.
Yeah.
What do the likes do? You're not getting paid anywhere near enough.
That's for you.
Yeah, in revenue. Like, it's really bizarre to me. I don't get it. I wish people were a little more involved in real-ass advocate groups that are genuinely spending time over there. I mean, there was a very brief period, only for a few months, but after the Ukraine stuff started, where I was like, it may be interesting to go over there.
Oh, interesting. I was in rehab when that happened, so
I
couldn't. I
was just very curious of, like, well, it'd be interesting to just go work at, like, one of the shelters out there. The life experience you'd get from that and the shit you'd see. I mean, it'd fuck you up on one side, but on the other side, you come out with a very, very adjusted worldview.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a lot of NWOs, though, or NGOs, sorry, that you can do stuff with that doesn't have to be in an active war zone. It just provides relief. I would like to spend some time in one of them before I settle down for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I think that'd be interesting. I think that would be... I mean, you come away with a whole different perspective on what the world is.
Yeah. I think doing that and then coming back here and then trying, you'd have to try to be pissed off about your life.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You know, you'd be in traffic, like, who gives a fuck? That kid was dying and every family member he had is gone.
Yeah.
Now he's just fucking waiting on somebody else to be able to help him because he can't do it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know?
And there's so many countries it's going on in. It's wild. Yeah. Africa has like 3 different wars going on right now.
I'm not even sure it's just 3.
Well, there's a lot of internal fucking chaos in a few of them.
Yeah.
I wonder who provocated that instability. Anyhow.
Anyway.
Under our climate, still a mess.
Yeah, under our climate,
country's still a mess. Been a mess.
Country has been a mess. That has been...
I don't know if I call it clean, but yeah, here we are.
We're still clean. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my clean but still a mess has to do with our overall topic for the day. So why don't I go second? You want to go? You want to start? What was your clean but still a mess this week?
I went to the ER.
Right.
Got acute insomnia, so I'm a little brain foggy. Yeah, I yelled at somebody for the first time in years.
A year for me, but yeah, me too. That has to do with mine.
When I say like yell too, there's a difference to me between, you know, being like, yo, chill the fuck out. What's your fucking problem? Versus like legit yelling at somebody.
Right.
I legit yelled at somebody. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've done that.
Yeah.
And immediately after that, I lost the ability to sleep. The doctor says it may have something to do with stress levels. I believe that's liberal propaganda. So, anywho, I went into the ER because I got like 3 hours of sleep, 3 days. Fucking seeing shit out of the corner of my eyes.
Yeah.
Hearing shit that wasn't happening. Fucking going nuts.
Yeah.
And then I went in and they're like, well, your numbers look good. I was like, right, but I'm fucked up. They're like, yeah, take some sleeping meds. I was like, this is an ER, so I get it. But to walk away with just the idea that nothing in my routine changed. And then all of a sudden my body's just like, you can't sleep anymore. Not an option. You're staying up.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't get how that works.
I don't know either.
If I was restless for a couple nights, that'd be one thing. I could understand that. But just not being able to fall asleep is a totally different ballgame. So we got that taken care of. At least I know I'm not dying. My anxiety's gone away from it or at least reduced a significant amount. I don't feel like I'm going to pass out at every given second now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Here
we are.
Yeah. I don't know if you really remember any of the last couple episodes. You may want to go back and listen. I don't not necessarily remember anything either, but you might want to go back and listen to like the last two and see if you were like falling asleep. You didn't seem to be, but like...
Did I say some shit?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But like, I was just thinking like, I wonder if you'd probably be able to tell if like there's some, if there's a difference.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. The yelling at shit at someone. I happen to know a little bit about that.
Yeah, let's go into yours.
Yeah, so it's funny we had to talk about the Charlie Kirk stuff right away because that has something to do with it too. But I'll just say, I'll try to say at least the least amount about this just so it's not, you know, hurt anyone's feelings or whatever. I don't fucking know. I've been, and you know, the reason this is going to deal with our
topic of the
day here is because it's we're about relationships here. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about relationships, in particular, my relationship, kind of, and how it flows through that. And things are, you know, we're to put it where it's at. We're building back up, and we're just going to take some time. And it was based off of worldview differences and, you know, hard-headedness on either side.
mm-hmm. and just not being able to give the other one grace at the time that it was needed. And so overall, yeah, I definitely am not happy with anything with the way things have been over the past week.
No.
Things have been pretty, I've been moving in the process of it, so I've been stressed as fuck. You know, just not really feeling like I could get any work done at all.
Getting any more cyclist fights?
No, not yet.
I saw a cyclist fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe someone's taking a page out of my book.
It was at the bar.
Really? Oh, wait. Was it the one that stole the...
The homeless guy came to steal Alex's bike?
Yeah, I heard he can't fight.
Oh, fuck. My bad. Look, here's what happened, right? I go out behind him because I was standing right near him. And so he runs up to the guy and, like, pulls him off the bike, which I was like, bad move.
Bad move,
dude. You push. You don't pull him into you. So they both fall. And then the other guy stood up with a wrench in his hand.
Oh, dude. Over.
And then Alex stood up and squared up with him. And I said, oh, no, this might be bad. I said, oh, fuck. Your upper back's a little too rounded, brother. Like, I don't know that you got this one. So I started walking up. And the guy fucked off. And, you know, shout out to the boy. I mean, he wasn't a bitch about it in any way. But yeah, I saw the hands go up like fucking right up in front of his face, and I was like, "Dog, this can't end well. We gotta be a little more square." Somebody was like, "Oh, I heard he squared up," and I was like, "More like an oval." it was a little obtuse. It wasn't. Feet weren't in line. Fucking hands were low. Shoulders were raised, but the hands were down. It was a bizarre position. I said, oh, shit, this can't be good. So then I walked up, and by that time, he had already gotten the guy to kind of fuck off.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God, because if that dude throws a haymaker, you got nothing to block it with. No, dude, no. Your body ain't in the right position for this dog.
No, dude.
But it was a good time. We had fun.
That's the important part.
That's all that matters, really.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, long story short, with this, what I'm trying to beat around the bush of is working through things in the relationship. And it's a lot of to do with, I think, and that's why we chose this topic for the day, is, you know, mental health and addiction in relationships is a thing. It's a tough thing to maneuver through.
Yep.
And we are going to talk about that today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we'll start by saying a statistic that I wrote down here. And this is, this is study based off of of alcoholism. So, you know, I don't know if it can relate to addiction with drugs or if it can relate to mental health exactly, but it can definitely relate to drinking here. And it's couples where only one partner is a heavy drinker have almost a 50% divorce rate over 9 years, which is compared to roughly 30% for marriages where neither partner or both partner drink heavily, I think, actually. So the way that relates in my own is that she's, as far as things go, pretty fucking normal. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got... you know, some trauma in her life. Everybody does. Hers is not great. None really are. And, I'm the only one in the relationship of the two of us that have, you know, some pretty severe, like, diagnosed things.
Well, doesn't she have a diagnosed stress processing disorder?
Potentially. I don't know. We've never talked about that.
I thought she was diagnosed.
We haven't. I don't believe so, no.
She doesn't have XX?
Oh.
I don't know. That's not going to land well. I'm going to get in trouble for that one.
All right, I should be able to write that down.
let it be. All right, cool. Let it ride.
Cool. That's so funny.
I'll die on this hill. To all my ladies out there, I apologize.
That's hilarious, dude. So, and we wonder why I get called misogynist.
Yes. I've been battling these allegations for 15 years. I'm like, listen, I got you back, but let me fuck with you every once in a while. Jesus Christ.
Can't take a joke, huh?
Just the funniest part, it just like proves it so much more, is that I talk so much shit about dudes. And I talk so much shit about my bros for being fucking fratty or fucking dumb or don't know how to process emotions.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And I never
say
had to be
one
like,
thing about
you
a
fucking misandrist because I'm a man. You know? But if I make one joke about, hey, you being stressed out, you don't know how to handle it, then all of a sudden I'm like a woman hater. I'm like, no, we're just having fun here. We're just joshing.
I believe only one of us was recently called that.
So there were some allegations.
Yeah.
About your boy, me. Because I fucking had made a dumb joke about it, and people were not happy.
About so me being called a misogynist?
No. Okay. I made a dumb joke to one of the guys at the bar, and somebody mentioned it. They're like, I heard you said some fucked up shit.
Ah.
I did not. It was a stupid joke, but I have to be more...
We know all about stupid jokes and getting caught up in the repercussions of those here.
I do have to be more wary of the way in which I make those. My mom always said growing up, she's like, know your audience. Just know your audience.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll laugh at some of this. But a lot of women won't. And it's not funny to them to hear a guy making jokes about them.
That's good advice. You know?
And I was like, fair play. And sometimes I'll still do it in public. And then people will be like, hey, that was fucked up. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I didn't consider that you heard me. Because the joke was tongue in cheek, just fucking around for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that would bother you. So I was, you know, nice about it afterwards. But
yeah,
it's not the first time by any means.
Yeah. See, I genuinely, for my accusation of that, I genuinely believe I didn't do anything to deserve that.
Can't say I fully understand it.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
So it's tough with, you know, especially when only one side of them. And I think, God forbid, I have been in relationships where it was both of us had bipolar disorder,
and also
both of us were addicts.
That's
and
right.
I don't know if I've ever talked about this on that one, but that was the only girl I ever was going to like straight up Bonnie and Clyde with.
Heard.
We were going to rob a bank and get into a gunfight with the cops.
Crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, you washing heat too much.
No, we were just fucking and smoking crack.
Yeah, that'll do it too, I guess.
Yeah.
Wild work. Yeah, I mean, I definitely have noticed we talked about this again before the pod, but, you know, in past relationships where I had periods of really heavy drinking or just being high constantly.
Sure.
If I had periods of dropping out of that while the other person stayed in it.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't like this. This isn't fun.
No.
And now I do get some of, like, my first ex, she was 2 years younger than me. So when I went off to college, she stayed home, and I was doing all this dumb shit.
Right.
And she was always stressed, and I was like, God damn, woman, let me live my life. And then I look back, and I'm like, oh, fuck, that poor girl. Like,
yeah.
That must have been rough, because I was drinking constantly.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, getting ready for school the next day, and then calling me, and I'm like, what's up, babe? How the fuck are you doing? You
know? Yeah.
And she's like, what the fuck? It's Wednesday. Why are you getting fucked? Where are you? I'm like, I'm in my room. She's like, why are you getting drunk? I don't know. We're having a good time, though. You know, I'm just doing that shit.
Yeah.
And she would fucking lose it. And I'd be like, God damn, what's your problem? And then I got older, and I was like, oh, that is a big problem. I would fucking hate that. When I stopped smoking and drinking with my ex.
Shane Gillis bits I'm thinking of.
I know. When I stopped smoking and drinking with my ex, kept doing it, I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like, now I can see where our lives are getting fucked up from this.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to take accountability for it, but I'm with someone who isn't ready for that conversation yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've experienced this at all, but one of the really hard parts about it is it's almost impossible to have that conversation without it being a holier-than-thou moment.
Oh my God, yeah.
Being like, hey, look, I know you didn't want to stop. I wanted to, but I really think this would be the best for us. And it's like, oh, well, it was fine when you were doing it. It's like, right. That's kind of the point. There's a little codependency there, and we were trauma bonding, and now I'm not breaking out of that. I think it would be good for both of us. And then again, it's the same shit. It's like, well, now you're fucking judging me. And so it's very hard to have that conversation without the other person feeling like you're undermining them. It's very similar. I've seen this a lot with couples' weight loss. I've had a few very close experiences in my life with friends that had that. They gained a lot of weight with their partner, and then they were like, fuck, I don't want to keep living like this. My buddy actually left his last relationship because of it.
Oh, really?
They both more than doubled their body weight.
Oh.
Like, they got big, big. And he was like, I can't do this. Like, my health is fucked up. My levels are crazy.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to get in shape. And she was would do all this, like, kind of sneaky shit. Like, legitimately sneaking extra oil into the, like, meal prep he made. And he was like, this is weird. He's like, I didn't use olive oil, bro. There's olive oil all my shit. It's like, I use the fucking spray avocado oil. It's like, I'm telling you, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And I'm like, oh, she might be trying to dose you and keep you fat. And then he got gym membership. She fucking canceled it on his card. Like, crazy shit, because she didn't want him to start losing weight, because then she would start looking at him different. And I do think that...
Well, no, he would start looking at her different.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. And I think that... food is an addiction.
There's 100%. No doubt about that. 100%.
And seeing that play out is very similar to how it was with me in drinking or smoking. Because she just would shut down, started having these like kind of outbursts on him when he was trying to take care of himself. And he's like, dude, I mean, she says she loves me. I'm doing something good for my health. And I'm like, right. But she also wants to feel loved. And she's conflating that with her, you know, identity issues.
Yeah.
And that's really tough to do. A fucking addiction rewires your brain to, you know, completely fuck your priorities.
Yeah.
You have any other good data on that?
On addiction rewiring your brain to fuck your priorities? I definitely have some...
addiction and relationships. I got some...
I've got some reasons that it might... why addiction might cause problems in relationships.
I'm interested. Let's hear it.
Well, trust erosion's definitely a big one.
Yeah.
A lot of times in addiction... and literally with just kind of this type of thing, with lying and secrecy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... because, you know, if you're... you know, just taking it into the drinking side of things, it's like, if you're, you know, say you're going to the bar after work or something, and you're like, I'm staying for two, and you have five, and then you say, oh, I only had three. Sorry, I went a little above, but that's... I was fucking the king of this. I had two.
The best.
Someone was just like a shot in there.
The best is, I'm sure, the bartender was a little heavy handed. That one's good.
But, yeah, that's a good one too.
You ever do the old like vocal prep before you walk in or before you get on the phone call?
No, baby, I'm fine. I've only had three. It's fine. We're good.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, I swear. No. And you're like, put the voice on and everything. That's so
funny. It's like putting an English accent on.
Yeah. it's like, all right, I think I'm ready for this. I used to do that shit constantly. And again, it was just fucking, in my mind, I'm like, well, I shouldn't have to do that because you shouldn't be fucking on my ass about it. Maturity. But, maturity. Yeah. Really interesting. I got some for general mental health too, and then we can go into the more individual dysfunctions and disorders. But
cool.
This one is pretty crazy. Couples where one partner has a mental health disorder are 2 to 3 times more likely to experience divorce or separation compared to the general pop. In frame of the true divorce rate being somewhere in the high 30s.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that is general couples, but based on that data, I mean, I assume that you're talking upwards of 60 to 80%.
It's one or both?
No, so where only one partner has it.
Oh.
So going on to the next one, around 40 to 60% of caregivers and partners of people with chronic mental illness report significant emotional strain and relationship dissatisfaction. And partners of people with mental illnesses have higher rates of depression and anxiety themselves. And interestingly, I feel like I've been both ends of this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there are points in my life where at least my issues of memory, consistency, pre-planning and so on and so forth. I mean, just kind of like executive function bullshit. There were periods where that was kind of managed or not really affecting the relationship because we had enough distance.
Sure.
And I was dealing with severe anxiety and like paranoia that had arisen from past trauma.
Right.
And it was driving me up a fucking wall. And it was dragging me constantly trying to like convince someone to love themselves. I mean, with my, the two of my exes, I mean, I literally had like a 30-minute call every day. Like, all right, go look in the mirror, tell yourself you love yourself. Let's talk it through. Let's hear some positive affirmations. Like, fucking do it. And I'd walk up there it every day.
Really?
And it just started. I was.
That's not good.
No, and then hearing the like, no, I'm not. I'm ugly. And I'm like, I can't keep fucking doing this. I try and fuck you every second of every day. I don't give a fuck what other people tell you. I want to fuck you like crazy. Just live on that. Live on that. Let that be your high. Like, don't fucking worry. You say you think I'm attractive and I want to fuck you. You're attractive. Boom. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Stop fucking worrying about like the social shit. But they just had these, you know, severe self-esteem issues. And yeah. I'm like, oh, it's all good. Don't worry.
Which is a whole other thing.
Yeah. And then it's like, now I'm trying to preserve your ability to exist in the world. I can't do that. I'm not doing it for me, you know. No. But then at the same time, in relationships where I was a little more dependent, living with someone, my issues became more prevalent. Yeah. My inability to get shit done. Oh, yeah, I got that. I'll do it when I get home, and then it'll get done for a week.
Yeah.
And then having that argument every single day. And then I could just see that it was wearing down.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that either.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a rough one.
But, I mean, since we brought that up, let's go right into it. Adults with ADHD are 2 times as likely to divorce as those without it. In one study, 60% of partners of adults with ADHD reported feeling ignored or unimportant in the relationship. God damn it, do I hate that line. You don't care about me. Yeah. You don't want to be. Oh, my God. And I'm like, I forgot you existed for a day. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I didn't, like, you weren't sitting in the room with me. You didn't exist in my mind. I don't know what to tell you. You know?
I mean, it's probably not the right girl.
No, it is crazy. And then here's another one. 74% of couples where one partner has it report frequent arguments about forgetfulness, time management, and chores.
Yeah. I'm gonna say one thing real quick. Can you repeat that?
74% of adults, or of couples where one partner has ADHD, report frequent arguments about forgetfulness, time management, and chores.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
74%.
That's all.
3/4.
That's all.
Crazy.
That's all I need to know. Not saying I'm going to stop trying to work on it, but fuck, dude. Give me some break. I cannot fucking remember. I don't know. Dude, I've done the same load of laundry back at home 3 times already. And I'm going to forget it again when I go back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that. I think one of the most interesting questions I've had through my life with consistently having these like depressive swings and
right.
Again, the, I don't want to say I have ADHD because it's not diagnosed. I really don't like the self-diagnosis, but there is a severe executive function disorder with
sure.
how I work.
Sure.
And I in relationships that there was always the point where I was with somebody where things were going really well and they were happy to do it.
Yeah.
And there's another really interesting study. I wish I had grabbed the number from it. Talking about just how high, like a large majority of couples who broke up reported that the reasons they were breaking up were the same ones as reasons they liked the partner initially.
Oh,
so your quirks, you're like, oh, they do this a little weird. Oh, you know. So for example, like I always was every time talking to girls. I like that you're not very material. Like, you don't care about shit. Like, it doesn't bug you. You don't need nice stuff. You don't care. And then we get 6 months in, and then it's, why don't you give a fuck about your clothes? You have a hole in that. Throw it out. I'm like, no, I don't. Who gives a shit? I don't need it. And it's like, you should upgrade your stuff. I don't like your couch. I don't give a fuck. It works. It's a couch.
Yeah.
Like, I just, to me, it never made sense. But it went from being, oh, it's really cool that you're indifferent to trying to impress everyone. And then it was like, all right, you have to try a little bit. You know? I'm like, I thought we were cool on this. You know, same with like some of the chore stuff where I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, if we're doing whatever, do it when you get it done. They like not being judged. Where I'm like, yeah, I don't give a fuck if your car is dirty. It's fine. My car is dirty. We're good.
Right.
But then they got to a point of like, well, I don't like seeing you do it. And then all of a sudden it went from, it's cool that you're non-judgmental to, it sucks that you don't care.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, how do you fucking deal with this? Is it dating someone who is expressly willing to deal with that for the rest of their life? Or is it only finding people that have the same issue? I don't know.
I think it's probably fixing that at least a little bit, coming a little bit halfway.
I know, but I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. Like, every time, I take relationships so fucking seriously. I'm sure I've mentioned it on here, but, you know, where I grew up and the way my parents were, it was always the number one thing.
Right.
If you fucking lose your career, if everything else goes to shit and you have a good person that's wanting to spend the rest of their life with you, you're good.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Yeah.
You'll always find happiness. You'll always find some level of peace because you'll have your person there, you know.
Sure.
And you'll be somebody's person. You'll get to be that support piece. So you'll always serve a purpose and have someone to help you fulfill yours. And so anytime I was in a relationship and partners pointed out these types of things, I did make an effort. I made a very big effort. Like, it was,
yeah.
I tried every time. To the idea of, like, meeting halfway is the same as, like, when somebody's like, oh, we'll just get a planner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's great. There's 12 of them in my house, you dick. They're all from 2022. I bought new ones. They who's got fucking lost? I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
So there is a, yeah.
No, I take medication for that, usually.
Yeah, working through the dysfunction can be a, I mean, yeah, I guess that's the part of it that's my fault, is I refuse to go get looked at. What if they tell me I'm fucked?
They told me I'm fucked.
I don't want to know, dude.
It's fine.
No.
It gets better.
I don't want to know, dude. I'm good. I just need to start eating better. That's all it is. Yeah. I just need to work out more.
You've said that for the last 25 episodes, which, by the way, this is episode number 25. Oh, let's get a little
quarter centennial. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think so.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Hey.
Yep. Congratulations. Yep. Yeah.
As a result of that, to celebrate, we're going to get blackout drunk on the pod.
Hold on. Just sorry.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Just Josh.
No. We may eventually one day take mushrooms on the pod. We talked about that briefly.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be interesting. I'm taking a break from those at the moment. But
attaboy. Trying to get a couple people to do the same.
Dog. Well, it's like, I don't understand how people can, like, be their drug.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's fun for, like, a couple hours. And then it's like, all right. I mean, I love psychedelics. We've done a whole episode about psychedelics. But
well established.
Yeah, but it's
a well-documented
plan. I still genuinely believe that you shouldn't do them all the time.
No.
And I used to do them all the time. Didn't work out very well for me.
No. They are. It should be treated as a medicine at the very.
Absolutely.
It's like, all right, cool. I'm struggling with this. All right, you fucking microdose. It's an antidepressant, whatever. And I'm not just saying that as advice, but saying it in the frame of, like, if you're going to use it for a certain reason to try and assist you with, like, I mean,
yeah,
there's PTSD studies with microdosing.
Is it working, though?
But that's what I'm saying. And you, even in studies, you rotate off of it.
Yeah, you don't take it every day, dude.
No.
You don't do it for months on end. You should not take psilocybin every day.
And also most studies are in incredibly small doses.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking,
well, even if you're taking 0.01, 0.1, whatever it is, a tenth of a gram, then you're still taking it every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean,
the crazier one to me is the people that trip balls frequently, like four times a week.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I just don't find mushrooms that fun either.
I used to do it pretty often, but I never could do it like that. Yeah. That's too much.
I mean, I went into every trip, to be fair, with the express mindset of trying to work through some shit.
Sure.
But
it's a little different when you do it like that. But
the forgetfulness on mushrooms, too, is nuts, which pairs very similarly to the amigo I'm referencing right now.
Yeah.
And the inability to continue progressing in a conversation. It's get two steps in, turn around, walk out the door, and then walk right back in it. Get two steps in. Over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one with that.
And you're like, listen, I understand. I've only said this 47 times. So for the 48th time, I'm going to say it in a different way. Again. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So are we good? Well, and then we're back to fucking basics. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Never mind.
All right, let's redesign the alphabet and just work from the ground up on this bullshit, huh, bud?
Yeah.
Another thing that can be, you know, addiction specifically causing relationship issues, emotional disconnection. And one of these that is listed here, I definitely find in, even with in my life, just as with bipolar disorder, which is mood swings, which is kind of the inherent part of the disorder. Mm-hmm. But mood swings when drinking, like, I mean, dude, if my dog could leave me, she would have. Like, as a puppy, she would have just not been there anymore. Because I'd like, just fucking come in wasted, just fucking mad about something. And just, like, you know, and...
Losing it, screaming, losing it,
and then 5 minutes later being like, I'm so sorry, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's one thing I'm very glad about with the lack of alcohol nowadays is the fact that I just don't have that
stability
anymore.
Yeah.
My, like, I'm not always emotionally stable because I do still have bipolar mm-hmm. disorder, but I take the meds for it. And if it's like it, when I'm on the right med too, cause it's not just taking the meds, it's taking the right med. That's the hard part of it. And also not drinking, because it would just cause me to go fucking insane, dude.
Yeah, you went from Rocky Mountains to, like, Blue Ridge. It was much more, you balanced out the right. peaks and valleys quite a bit.
Right. And peaks and valleys are normal.
Yeah.
Having a normal, like having a normal range of emotions that is a, like, as long as, the difference in bipolar disorder is when it goes too above hypomanic, and it's...
Well, isn't bipolar also characterized by it not always being event-related?
Yes.
Like, it's just a...
It just is.
Swings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That used to happen to me all the time. And for no reason, I would just be, like, in a different place. I'd just be, like, hallucinating or something.
Mm-hmm. Just be fucking losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly, I don't think we have a ton of comparative data on it. But the blend of the two, because of how much overlap there is in people who are abusing substances and, again, any other mental condition, mm-hmm. whether it's PTSD or ADHD or bipolar, like all of those, every single mental disorder we've addressed, I think, period, point blank, in this entire time we've been doing the podcast, all of them lead to increased addiction and behavioral issues.
Oh, yeah. I think I read some statistic back in the day that bipolar disorder was like 50%.
Yeah, literally, we went over
literally a coin flip.
Yeah, I mean, like, bipolar, ADHD, general anxiety, major depressive disorder, borderline personality disorder, PTSD, all of these things lead to increased risk of substance abuse.
Yep.
And so the overlap there is kind of wild, but one of the core underlying like principle of it that I think is interesting is that trying to be in a relationship that's functional and healthy with somebody who is not only dealing with whatever, you know, internal issues they have, but they're also coping in a way that is detrimental.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fucking double whammy.
Yeah, it's no wonder that I have not had very many relationships work out.
And it's like, how do you walk that through? I mean, relationships have so much tension as they
just... Double-edged sword all the time, yeah.
Yeah, as it stands already, they're hard. And so adding in the... Like, all right, well, I've got my own shit, and I don't know how to let other people help me because I found my crutch.
Right.
It's a very difficult thing to navigate.
Yeah.
You either have to be, if you're the person who's trying to be with a person like that, you got to have a ton of patience and, quite frankly, a little bit of liquid boundaries.
Yeah, probably.
You got to be willing to move the goalpost, and it depends on, you know, what you see as the long-term result from it.
No, absolutely.
And to be on the other side, it's like, I wish I had the answers on what I could do to fix my behavioral problems in order to be in a long-term stable relationship.
Yeah.
If I knew the answer, I'd give it to everybody. But I don't think anyone knows the answer. And that's why these, you know, the numbers are as high as they are.
Yeah.
Because the patience has to be there. Like, I don't think you or I are ever going to get to a point in our lives where our chores are done on time every day without failure.
Jesus Christ, no.
It's never going to happen.
Never.
So you got to find somebody who's okay with that or who is willing to... I mean, this is kind of the more like traditional mindset, but the exchange of tasks in a way that benefits both parties.
Yeah.
Like if I can go fucking just hustle the money and I can find good stuff and I can remember to do things that are provisional, can I find somebody who's willing to take care of like the daily tasks that I struggle
that's
with?
That's what should be the goal.
Yeah, I mean, like that's.
I mean, you can't, if you're both good at the same things, then you're both going to be competing. And versus if you're versus complementing each other, if you are good at things that are, you know, complementary.
The other ones that we were going to cover here. For alcoholism, again, specifically here, and these are the only, I mean, obviously, these are going to be all addiction. I don't have stats for anything other than alcoholism, but.
No, although I could only imagine that for a lot of the more potent substances, it's just going to be an amplitude.
I would imagine that, like, unless, I would think that there's probably something to do with drugs, that usually you're probably not with someone that is using an illicit substance unless you two are using the illicit substance. Yeah. At least that seems to be the often case. Yeah, because
alcohol is just so culturally normalized that.
And like, yeah, alcohol is so culturally normalized. You can have a little bit and not toast yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that can drink without a problem. Mm-hmm. God, I fucking know. I wish I was one of those.
We're not around any of them. We're
not around any of those guys. I don't even think I know any of those people. Actually, I know a few of those people.
My mom would say she's one of those people.
My girlfriend is one of those
people.
Might
have a bottle of wine.
My girlfriend is one of those people.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I guess we are around some of those people every now and then.
Is it like dinner
drinking? I've seen her drink.
Is it like dinner drinking?
What do you mean?
Like, is she drinking while she's like hanging out or going out? Or is it like she's having glasses of wine at dinner and like a beer while watching the game?
No, not the second one. Definitely like.
Like she can go out.
I've seen her drink.
To events and just drink a couple and call it a night.
She'll have like a shot. She'll have a shot of tequila. She'll literally have a shot.
A single shot?
Yeah, like one or two shots.
Oh, dude, I'd rather be a binge drinker. That's crazy.
I don't get it. But it just like gets her loose enough to like not give a fuck.
Needs a little of the liquid courage.
No, I don't even think it's that. It's just, I think she enjoys just dancing with a little bit of alcohol in your system.
Fair.
I get it.
It is a good time.
It is a good time. But I just fucking, I can't have just a little bit.
Yeah, fair.
One shot, dude. No.
What are we doing here?
That's why.
We'll start at 4.
Yeah.
And we'll negotiate from there. Maybe.
Maybe 6.
Maybe only 7? Well, dude, fucking Connor showed up. You know I love Connor, so I had to do a shot with him.
That doesn't
so
count. I had 11. That one doesn't count. Yeah. So, 16.
So, what do we agree on? 15 again?
Yeah. It was only one more than that.
Oh, dude, I know I said I was going to be home at 1, babe, but. There was a shooting star, so it'll be more like 4:30. Yeah, exactly. Been talking about it for a while.
So one thing that can get on in a relationship and addiction, or even and definitely in mental health too, because this one can a couple of these things. Financial strain is the main part of it, but money spent on substances definitely can drain joint finances. Job loss or absenteeism, not great. And this one I've accrued because of both sides of the mental health and the addiction, which is debt accumulation. Thankfully, I have some debt that's not good, but I'm mostly clean because I made the decision when I was 21, 22 really, but I should not have a credit card. And you know, maybe I'll be better at this in the future. But at 22, I should not have had a credit card. And
I mean,
yeah.
For me, I decided it was never a good idea. And then I got one, and I did exactly what I thought I was going to do with it.
Yeah.
And then I maxed it out.
I remember that.
I think we talked about it on the pod. But regardless, because of that, I can't get another credit card.
Yeah, you won't be able to for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute.
Mine's just falling off next year. Did you go delinquent on it?
How many months does it take to not pay before it does
that?
I
think it just has to go to debt collecting.
Yeah, we're at that stage.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I just keep forgetting to pay it.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's too far gone.
It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, RIP. I'll get a house when I'm 40. Maybe.
I suppose, yeah.
We'll see. Anywho.
Anyway. Yeah.
other things that can happen with this are communication breakdown.
Communication breakdown.
You know, the Led Zeppelin song. Arguments escalating. This happens. Yes. Fueled by stress, defensiveness, or impaired judgment. Avoidance. Some partners stop talking about the problem entirely, leading to resentment. Mm-hmm. Manipulation, which God knows. I have been on both sides of that during the drinking side of things.
Yeah.
Guilt trips or emotional blackmail may surface to cover continued use. Mm-hmm. Emotional blackmail is a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it functions on a much, at least in most relationships, I would have to imagine, from talking to many people about it. I would imagine that that is a much smaller, it occurs in like very little ways of like the, if you're fucking saying, oh, I think your drink's getting out of control, I'm like, oh, well, fucking look at your friend group. Your friend's all fucking lefty or whatever, you know, and picking out something that is emotionally damaging.
Yeah, I think that's guilt trip too.
Yeah, and I feel like, isn't guilt tripping more?
Maybe I'm thinking of it wrong, but
I feel like guilt tripping would be on the sober side.
I feel like emotional blackmail is more like I'm blackmailing you with my emotions. Like if you're going to do something that I'm going to be like, that I'm going to freak out,
and because I know it'll control you. That's kind of what I'm thinking of. Is like the, if I'm going down, you're going down with me. Like your life sucks.
Yep.
So don't judge me for my life sucking. Oh, okay. You want to talk about my shit? Let's talk about your shit too. And it's like threatening to drag in the other shit. I feel like
that might be called something different, but yeah, that I get what you mean.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking of it more like, you know,
I'm trying to think of what else would fall under that category.
I don't know. I was thinking of it more like, you know, if you're going to fucking drink and I'm like, well, I'm going to cut myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And see how that makes you feel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to drink, and if you fucking yell at me, I'm going to break out my drunk Japanese accent. You want to do that again? I'm going to do it at dinner with your parents.
I'm going to do it. Do not make me.
Madge gets so mad when I do
that. Babe. No, I only have a free drink.
Okay, that's hilarious.
That's emotional blackmail.
That's emotional blackmail. It's,
only having three drink.
Anyway, physical and emotional safety issues, violence or an aggression. Now, not good, ever.
Not good.
Never good. The substance use part of things can definitely tie one over on that too. Then you find like definitely with couples that are, you know, if you ever, I know you were, no, this was another friend of ours. Shout out the boy Manny. He talked about, I think he had old neighbors that were like constantly fighting before he moved to where he is now. And, they were like a couple that was like, that were just like drink, fight, fuck type things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then repeat the cycle.
I did have neighbors like that.
Yeah. I've had neighbors like that too.
That was the last neighbors before I moved into this place. We may have talked about it.
Yeah. I had neighbors like that too in Austin. I had a couple, I almost had a really bad incident with one of them, because I was like, I was friends with them. They were my next door neighbors. Mm-hmm. And they were like a 40s couple. They're like in their 40s, and like they would just drink all the time and then fight and then make up and that, and yeah, and it'd just be the worst.
I could always tell where they were at in the cycle based on how the dude was smoking his cigarettes.
Mine was like all based how on he what was time of talking day. To me. If he was angry, I knew they were like fucking wasted. And if he was like, what's up, dude? You wanna fucking, he was just starting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These guys, every day, I could fucking, as soon as I'd walk by at night, I'd hear them. No, I guess not every day. And the days that they weren't, he'd be outside. He'd have his chair set up.
Yeah.
He'd be out, hey, what's up, man? Smoking a stogie. And then other days I'd come home and he'd just be out there with his shirt off. Just a little, real dreamy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I'd be like, one of them days? Yeah. I go, all right, bro, no worries. Yeah. I got the fights on later if you want to come watch. He's like, yeah, it's fine. But, you know, I could just tell immediately. There were a few times where it was him, like, in his underwear during, like, January. I'm like, it's 12 degrees outside right now.
Just need to feel something.
And he's just out there fucking staring at the other apartment building. I'm like, ah, you're at the fight stage. Got it. And then I go out to walk the dog at 3 in the morning, and he'd be out there smoking with his jacket. And I'm like, you fucked, didn't he? You know?
So fucking good. I if I ever get as angry as I got the other day, then I fucking hope she leaves me.
Yeah.
For God's sake, just leave. If you're listening to this, Madge, just leave me if that ever happens again. Because I fucking... That hasn't happened to me in fucking... I don't want to put a number on it because I don't know. It's been a while. Well, it's been a while since I've gotten like viscerally angry. Since I've gotten like viscerally angry.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's never fun, dude.
No,
it's never.
Lucky enough not to direct any of that to my like relationship partners.
Yeah.
However, I did direct it at everything else in my life at those times.
That's where it's been up and until this moment. This
that point. Definitely weared off on him. Like me fucking screaming at the TV.
Mm.
And she's like, can you chill out? I'm like, I love you. Relax. This thing will fucking work. You know, yeah, I'm fucking pissed at the world.
Yeah.
And that definitely rubbed off in negative ways. But yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, ladies.
Yeah, sorry for all of my ex-girlfriends as well. And I love you, Magdalene.
Continue sorry to well. Work on it.
Going to.
Yeah.
Going to continue to work on that. This one doesn't go in the particular sense, but neglect of children. I don't know how many stories I've heard of kids that I've met in rehab and shit that were like, yeah, my parents were alcoholics. Like, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense then why you're like this. Risky behaviors, driving intoxicated, unsafe sexual choices, or criminal acts, increased danger. Yep. Not even going to say anything about either of those things, any of those things. We've talked about the first one and the latter.
Yeah.
But not the middle one, and we're not going to.
Nope.
We
can keep this train rolling.
Yeah. Unbalanced roles, parentification of partner. One partner becomes caretaker or the monitor. And I think we were talking about this a little earlier, that is a definite pattern. I mean, codependency is the next one here that it says here, but that's kind of a codependency pattern, is to become the monitor, become the caretaker of someone. And basically you're not their partner, you're their kid.
Yeah, that's the rough part about, like, again, trying to find some of the role exchange of like, look, I just can't do this shit. You got me? Mm-hmm. You can do it? Oh, no. Okay, fuck. All right, yeah. My bad. I'll try.
Yeah. Codependency patterns enabling behavior develops, keeping the cycle going. And then loss of equality, which builds resentment when one person bears the emotional and financial load. Yeah, when you're bearing both of the things, when your partner is completely, for lack of a better term, toast, and you are paying for everything, and then you're also the one that is their shoulder to cry on, and you're never crying on them. And then when that does happen, that you try to you have a moment where you need to rely on them, and they're like, dude, I can't give you anything.
Yep,
that's tough. And I've been on both sides of that too, and sometimes I wonder if I'm still on that on things of that, and I try to fight back and get back on the other side of that because I think about that often because of how many times I've been on the opposite side of that. And then the last one here we got is decline in intimacy. Sexual dysfunction. Alcohol, drugs, or compulsive behaviors can interfere physically.
Same with all of the, again, same with pretty much all of those different mental conditions as well.
Yeah. And this next one I found, which is emotional intimacy fades. I've seen that a lot in relationships that I've gotten with, in where we were... it was just based on the physical attraction and it was just based on obviously there has to be that at least somewhat, but it was based only on the, oh, this girl's hot. Oh, and she wants to fuck me. Oh, sick. And then we fuck. And then it's like, oh, cool. Like, you're kind of cool too. Like, let's hang out more, and then keep on going. Oh, we're my girlfriend now. That eventually is going to fade at some point.
it's not really rooted on the great foundation.
No, that's not a great foundation. That builds to secrecy and conflict, which then pushes partners apart. Reducing shared activities as well. If a couple's life revolves around addiction instead of connection, that could cause problems for that. But yeah, that's really all I got here on here. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't think I do, actually. You got a little song of the week action?
I do have a little song of the week action here. I'm going to go back to some fucking straight up first Billy Strings EP. And we're going to go Thirst Mutilator. It's a brilliant song. It's a song called Thirst Mutilator, yes.
Oh, heard.
I played it for you actually once, but not on one time at the other place. But the one I've been listening to most recently on, and then it goes into, actually, you know what? I'm going to change that. I'm going to go Thirst Mutilator into Dealing Despair on the live album that I heard downloaded, because he's got this Dealing Despair is this. I'll look up the lyrics to this song. Why don't you say yours, your song of the week this week.
Mine is Torleif Thedain's cover of Johann Sebastian Bach.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cello Suite Number 1 in G Major, BWV 1007.
Sick.
Been listening to classical music.
That's cool.
And some nice fucking cello symphony shit.
Cool.
Amazing.
Nice.
I feel smarter. No, I don't. I feel like an idiot lately with not sleeping. But regardless, listening to that music feels nice.
Okay. Good to know. The lyrics here for Dealing Despair by Billy Strings. Well, the folks around here don't get along anymore. Everybody's dealing despair. Few are the flowers to stop and smell. Exasperation lingers in the air. Well, it must be something in the water, my darling. I'm waking on the wrong side of the bed. I long for existence in tune with the others. I turn to the hatred within. Come, go, surrender to the evil. Do your part to feed the burning flame. You know I don't want your opinion. I just want to blow out your brains.
Crazy. Crazy finish to that.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's a gnarly song. It's great, though. It's a great fucking song.
It's really cool lyrics.
Like 140 beat a minute bluegrass.
God damn.
Yeah.
God damn, 140?
It's something like that. I'll look that up.
It's over techno. Isn't techno like 132?
Let me see what it is. It's 154.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Dude, he's fucking unreal.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. I think his highest one's like 190 something or 180 something.
That's crazy.
That's literally that. 3 beats a second.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I don't do music like
scratching the head.
Attaboy.
Yeah, it's a lot. Anyway. But yeah. So we got our songs of the week here, and thanks for listening, everybody.
We appreciate you greatly.
Appreciate it. You guys should follow the Instagram at Malfunction Junction Podcast. Email us at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. And the Substack will be in the
link in bio.
Please follow that. We're going to get that going. I've got a couple things I've written this week that I am planning on getting out there. Jay may join that as well.
Yeah. Everybody go fucking smash that like button.
All right, everybody, we're going to get out of there.
Take it easy.
Do whatever the fuck you want. Don't fucking...
Don't listen to us. We're idiots.